Blog Talk Radio.
That men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His mercy. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wondrous works toward men. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. He made the heavens and earth and all that is.
Cassandra McDonald, pastor of Cast Mind, Caring and Sharing Spirituality. Here we are again talking about the goodness and the magnificence of our God. He never, ever, ever from week to week cease to just show himself great, for he is great and there is none to compare with him. You know, it's a privilege and it's an honor to have a dialogue with our Lord. I mean, to have someone to talk to who not only has power to make change, but who loves you and has your best interests first. And that really kind of leads us right into our subject, which is our connection to life is with Jesus Christ. Our connection to life, Jesus Christ. There's a, you know, little tales and little fable things that, this isn't a fable, just saying, and it says there are two, and the Native Americans say this, there are two wolves in you, whichever one you feed is the one that will grow. And God says, everything is parallel to the God of Word. You cannot serve mammon and God. Whichever you choose, that's the one that you will serve. You can't serve both. So God is saying the same thing. So who you connected with determines your focus. Even in life with your friends, who you connect yourself with. The grandma's little saying used to be, you're as good as the company you keep. So whoever you allow to be in your inner circle, whoever, just check yourself out. Where and who are your five closest friends? And I heard another minister and motivational speaker says, she says, in your five closest friends, would they be capable of carrying you for 6 months financially if they had to? Wow. And the question I'm asking, would they? But the point is, are you surrounding yourself with people who are greater that you can learn and go and grow from? There's a scripture that says, iron sharpeneth iron. And I just read, that just came in my mind just quickly before the show, and I'll look that up. But iron sharpeneth iron. So what does that mean? You have to have at least equal or greater if you want to grow and if you want to go. But are you willing, or do you stay intimidated by someone that you think, in your estimation, can do more than you, has more going on to you than you? Most of us surround ourselves with our equals so that we're comfortable. You know, that, you know, is just something we do out of human nature, is to, you know, when you look at your friends and see what commonality, what is it that you have that's common? And I told the Lord, if I'm going to go where you tell me I'm supposed to go and what I hear you saying to me, then those are going to be the kind of people that I need to be around so that I can go and grow. And I've actually prayed that prayer, and that's what God has connected me with, but it's been a God connection. I didn't go out and seek them because I don't run in their circles, but God brought them to me. And they became part of my circle because I'm connected with Jesus Christ. And our subject is our connection to life is with Jesus Christ. So if you just connect with him, anybody that you need, as long as you keep your mind on him and you stay aware and you believe that he can and that he will, then it'll happen. There it is. It's Proverbs 27:17. I was able to look that up, and I'm going to read that. Proverbs 27:17. Let me turn to it. Let's see. It's right after Proverbs. It's right after Psalms. Okay, here we go. This is so interesting, and it's so interesting. I love God. He's so strategic. He just dropped that in my spirit right before we started 17th. So the Proverbs, the 27th and 17th, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth, the countenance of his friend. Wow, let's see what they say about that. As the proper tool shape and sharpen iron for its desired use, so a man sharpeneth his friends morally and intellectually. Personal friendship. Woo, that's right on point. Huh. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. God is amazing. Huh. Right. That's the kind of God we serve. An amazing God that knows his word, of course, because he wrote it. But he shares with us to help us. That's why I said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It says, go to the end, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. So where do we get our wisdom? We got to read, man. Read the word of God. Iron sharpeneth iron. Oh, my goodness. And it talks about the personality of your friends. Just what I was mentioning. Yeah. If you want to go somewhere, you got to go somewhere. You know, if you get a guide, it's because they've already been there. Like you're going on a hike and they give you a guide. It's because they've gone on this trail. They know the pitfalls. They know over and over and over where to go, how to get there. They know the answers. You don't want a guide that's never been there and they're trying to guide you. That's no help. And that is not, you know, what you want. So the scriptures that I chose to use, but let me review before I continue. Our theme for the year is Thy Will on Earth as It Is in Heaven in 2017. And we use for our scriptures for the year came from the 9th chapter of Matthew, starting with the, it started on Matthew 9. It is the Lord's Prayer. So this month of August, we're with, and lead us not into temptation and to lead us not. So we're talking about being led, but you want to be led by someone that knows where they're going and knows how to get you. It says, lead us not into temptation. So that's, who does that more perfectly than God, who lives in the future and who knows? So God is training, and I've just been studying the scriptures this week, mainly my spontaneous spot reading where I just close my eyes and open up the Bible. I've landed every time in the New Testament. And congruently, all of the scriptures that I've read have led into my message tonight. And they all have been about Jesus and God being one and how he came to do the will of his Father. And he came to help us and to guide us so that we would be connected. So the scripture that I chose for this lesson is the 5th chapter of John, starting with the 23rd verse. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor their Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that heareth my word and believe on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death, unto life. 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall hear and shall live. 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. 27. As he hath given him authority to execute judgment also, but he is the Son, that's capitalized, of man. And this is, I'm skipping down now to 5:43, the 5th chapter, the 43rd verse. I am come, listen to this, Lord Jesus. I read that and I said, I've read this book over and over and over again, but I just caught it. I am come in my Father's name. So God's name is Jesus. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, you will receive him, you will receive. 44. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor of the one that cometh from God only? My subtopic, you need to hear from him, Lord Jesus. Need to hear from him. So how can you believe if you want to skip over Jesus? He says, I come in my Father's name. He had to come. I've explained in lessons earlier, but I go over it some more in this one as well. That Jesus says, I'm coming in my Father's name. He reveals that his name is God's name. And this is why they wanted to kill him. The Jews wanted to kill him because he says, you think to make yourself equal with God. How low? He is God, wrapped up in the flesh. And that is explained in John, the 1st chapter, when it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And then It says, and the word was made flesh. Hello? And dwelt among us. That is clear English as it can get. But if you don't believe, you'll be puzzled. So if you read this carefully, God will open up your scripture, your understanding. You just have to have a hunger and a thirst to know the truth. Not necessarily what you've been taught, but say, Lord, open up my eyes, open up my ears, open them up to my heart, Lord. You know, open them up so that I can hear from you. Because listen, when you stand before him, I cannot tell you the number of people I have explained this to, and they said it makes perfect sense, and have done nothing. Agree? They're in agreement. Yep, that is the word. And have done nothing. Stuck. And they love God with all that they know, but not enough to open up their heart and hear his word. It's very interesting, the measurement, and that is a measurement that God uses, not us or me, but God uses, because he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So that is a measurement that he uses. He says, because if you do, you'll do. And another scripture says, why do you say you love me and you do nothing I tell you to do? Why do you do that? But yet you say, I love God. I love you. Everybody loves God. I love God. I'm going to heaven. You better read his word. For in the scriptures, you say you think you have life, so you need to find out. I just want people to, and it's so simple, and it brings so much joy, and it brings so much life, and it brings power. Woo! Jesus, and everyone agrees that he died on the cross, shed his blood, to wash away our sins. Okay, so get baptized and have your sins washed away, and the only power is in his name. All power is in his name. There's no other name under heaven among men, given among men, whereby we must be saved. So, but they said, well, that's just not the way we do it. Who is we? And where will we be when you stand before him and you want him to say, well done, thy good and faithful service? But way before that happens, don't you want to have that connection to life with our Lord Jesus Christ? You know, I was talking to one of my parishioners today, and I had a magazine about our hospital, and thank God for our new hospitals here and everything that they do, thank God. And the person I saw on this article, I said, wait a minute, I know this person. What happened to them? Well, as it turned out, they had had a stroke. And so the wife called, you know, for the ambulance to come, and they were able to help him, and he's doing well. And I thought, oh my goodness. I said, God, that would be challenging. I mean, someone you can tell is in the middle of having a stroke, because you see the evidence, it's clearly a stroke. You call on the name of the Lord, you're asking God to bless, what do you do? Well, you know, you normally call 911, and I thought, oh my goodness. And then I thought, wait a minute, Cassandra, you've already been through this. I'm like, wait a minute, I have, but see how easily we can forget and are intimidated by the circumstances? I went through this with my mother a couple of Thanksgivings ago, 2 years ago. I was on my way to go to Florida, and I had trouble with my left arm, and for about a couple of months, it got worse and worse and worse. Finally, I was having to hold it, my hand, in the center of my chest in the position that would put my arm in a sling, even though I didn't put a sling on it, but I held it because the pain, it was the only comfortable position, and I had no strength to make a fist, to pick up anything, to do anything. Pretty much lifeless. And I thought, okay, Lord, I'm waiting on you to heal. You know, it said, according to my faith, I'm believing for this. What am I not doing? You know, what do I need to do to increase my faith, Lord? I'm saying the scriptures. Well, I was teaching And I told my student, oh, let me play this piece for you. And it was a piece I had written. And I went to sit down at the piano, and in my mind, I'm having this conversation. Have you lost your mind, Cassandra? You have no usage of your left arm. How are you going to play? And my other voice was saying, just be quiet and play. And I'm like, well, how am I going to play? Just shut up and do it. And I'm like, oh, I'm having this battle. So I took my index finger and I laid it on the key, and my right hand played the chording. And with my left hand, I only played a note with my index finger. I didn't have any strength. But as I began to play, my fingers began to open up. Strength came in my fingers. Strength came in my hand. Strength came in my arm. And by the end of the song, I had usage of my hand and arm. I'm like, are you serious? I've suffered for 2 months, and all I need to do was come in here and worship in faith? Really? I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Because I was flying out the next couple of days, and I kept saying, God, how am I going to lift my luggage? Da, da, da. So I woke up the next day, it's time for me to fly, and I was totally healed. I'm like, wow, God, thank you for that lesson. I got to worship more. I got this. So I get to Florida, and talking about our connection to life is with Jesus Christ, just believing him, worshiping him, without a doubt. Because he says, you know, in Mark, I think it's 623. Let me look that up, make sure I get that correct. I'll look at it while I'm talking. So he says, when you pray, whatsoever you desire, believe, and it shall be. And I was trying all of that, but I needed to put some action behind that. And when I worshiped, I was totally healed. So anyway, I get to my mom's place in Florida. She has a home there. And this is a beautiful one, 6:9. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. And that wasn't the one I was looking for, but it's a good word there. And I'm still looking for the other one. So, and I go out to the store for my mom. I come back, and she's real frustrated about something that just had happened, which cost her, huge amount of money. And she was just, and all of a sudden, she goes into a stroke. Her face is numb, it's dropping, her arm's numb, and obviously she's very, very frightened and very, very concerned. And she's beating on her arm. She says, I can't feel this. She says, my face is drilling. And she's in a full-blown stroke. And I'm like, Jesus. So I come up behind her, and I grab her, and I put my arms crisscross in front of her and hold her arms. I said, oh, we're going to worship. I said, I don't care what this is, what I do say, you're coming out of this, and it's never going to affect you. Now, I had to believe this because I didn't have time to call 911. She's in the middle of this, and she needs help now. And I'm like, Jesus? I know what to do. And we begin to worship. Oh, I said, let's sing, let's worship. I said, let it run its course, whatever it wants to do, but I'm going to guarantee you God is going to bring you through this, and we're going to worship. Because I had the key. I had the connection. I knew what to do. I just learned it. And I've learned it before, but I learned it in another way. Oh, God's an amazing God. So it took a little bit, went through. Finally, the symptoms died down and calmed themselves, and she was better. So she went in the room and got her to the room in the bed, and she was okay, a little weakened from the episode. And she says, but I've got this pain in my head. So I said, wait a minute. So I went and got my oil, and I came back, and I, facing her, so this is the right side, and I put my hand around on the right side of her neck, right in the back, and I prayed. So in 3 days, she was going home. She went home, checked with her doctor. They did all the tests on her. She had a full-blown stroke. And it was right in the back brain stem. There's two spots back there that really can take you out immediately. And full-blown. But her body showed no evidence as far as, you know, losing control of her left side, being left paralyzed. None of that happened. But the evidence from the test was that she did have a stroke. And she called to tell me the results. And she said, the only thing that I'm really puzzled about is that I want to know how you knew where to put your hand on the back of my neck. And as soon as you touched it, I was instantly healed and all the pain was gone. It never came back. I said, I didn't anticipate it. I didn't think about it. It was just the Lord, obviously. And so I said, wow, I've been through this. And there's nothing wrong with calling 911 and doing that. It's just that I was in that posture at that moment because I had just went through that myself. And I do know God as a healer. So I had this knowledge and I just, and this is how we're connected. This is what he came for, is our connection. And he came to build our faith. And it takes time to build your faith. Here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, line upon line. It does, you know, it took me time to build my faith, to know and to experience and not deliver myself to fear, but the confidence in knowing I can speak. God says to speak. His word says to speak a thing and it shall be. I mean, that's what his word says. So it takes time for you to accrue evidence and the faith to combat fear, to be in that position, to have that connection. But I'm telling you, you can have it. I'm still running through Mark. I'm at the 11th chapter of Mark. 22nd, it says, have faith in God. Maybe this is it. I'm here and didn't know it. Yay. Okay. Have faith in God. Is Mark 11, 23rd. Okay. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith. Yeah, I haven't asked. I'm confessing. I have not asked a mountain to move yet, a real mountain. But this was my mountain with my mom. I said, Lord, I cannot have a blink of doubt. Because it says here, and shall not doubt in his heart. I said, my mother's life is on the line here. And I'm making a decision to worship and to praise you. I don't have a blink of a second. I can't afford a blink of a second of doubt. Can't afford it. I have to believe that you're going to do this. But this is what it says. If you say to a mountain, be cast out into not a molehill, a mountain, be cast in the sea and not doubt, and shall believe that those things which saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Woo! There, here it is, 24. Therefore, God's good. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. But here it goes. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have any ought against any. That your Father which is in heaven. What I was going to talk about, but that's okay, was about how the temptation of Adam and Eve, and it took away the faith and replaced it with fear. You cannot allow that fear to replace your faith. You have to stand strong on his word. So read it. Be connected to life with Jesus Christ. Hear from him for reading through his word. And I promise you, he can't lie. This scripture is true. Just believe it. Stand on it. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Lord, in the name of Jesus, right now, that person that's standing in that crossroad, what am I going to do? Ask God and believe it. Stand on it in Jesus' name. It shall be. In Jesus' name, amen. Our connection to life with Jesus Christ. Dr. Cass, our connection to life is with Jesus Christ. Dr. Cass, our connection to life is with Jesus Christ.